And good morning, folks, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And we say happy 4th of July to you folks out there. Thanks for being here. We'll be right back right after this song. Stay tuned, folks.
I had this crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. Anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. Remember golden days when the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon old glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been driven way off track. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now. And we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. Now we know our cause is right and our victory's on the way, and we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back, and we ain't taking any more flack. And we're madder than hell now, and we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not.
And welcome back again, and you're listening to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers this July 4th, 2026. And we welcome you out there. We thanks for being here, and wish you all a happy 4th of July. Happy Independence Day. I'll bring the men on the line. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And good morning, Will.
Good morning.
And, Will, would you kick us off with a word of prayer this morning, please, sir?
You bet. Father God in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the freedom and the opportunity, Lord, to gather here today. And, Lord, we do thank you for this nation that was born in a day, Lord. We thank you for the privilege and blessing it is to be an American. And, Lord, I know this this government and those that are in control now have turned us as far away from our founding, Lord, as it possibly could be. But I know there is a remnant there, Lord, that still remembers what Americans are supposed to be. And, Lord, we just give you thanks and praise for them. And Father God, and we pray on this 250th anniversary, Lord, that instead of ticking forward to our destruction, that we will start ticking backward, Lord, to a return to you, a return to your word, and a return to the founding principles that made America the shining city on a hill. And that's our prayer for this morning and every morning, Lord. And we just ask it now in your name. Amen.
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 Well, it is, this is, you know, an awesome day to be here. Really happy for the 250th anniversary of America, the true nation that was born in a day. And, yeah, it's just, I don't know, to me, it's been exciting. At the same time, it's kind of like, I don't know, just, nervous, not nervous, but like kind of antsy, like something, like the enemies have something planned. Not sure exactly what, but definitely a lot of stuff to keep in prayer throughout the day. You know, let's start off with talking about things abroad. Germany's mass shooting suspect with Turkish citizenship shoots and kills six people. What do you guys know about that?
Well, I like he said, he was a dual citizen. I mean, there to me, that was, we've got so many of those running around these days. It's like, it seems like that's a problem. What was he, German and German? He had passports for Germany and Turkey. And, I think the people who he shot were all worked for what, like the welfare, the child welfare system over there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Was there an agenda? Was there a manifesto, or was there anything like that was recovered that anybody knows about?
It probably had to do with like a domestic violence situation. I think this guy's wife or significant other and his kids were being housed at this, like what Tim was saying, this family shelter, the state man family shelter or something. Interestingly enough, he didn't shoot them. He didn't shoot his wife or the kids. He just shot these workers. He killed these workers that were working there. But, even though he had German citizenship, but, you know, there is gun control in Germany. There are guns in Germany, but it's typically for sporting purposes and hunting and that sort of thing. You don't catch a lot of people with guns at their homes and that sort of thing. But this guy was not one of those guys. This happened in Stade, which is in Lower Saxony, and they came very quickly and said he wasn't a legal gun owner, and my thought was, well, no kidding, he's a criminal. That's what he is. You know, criminals don't buy guns legally. And I just want to point this out real fast. This is a real quick backstory on Turks in Germany. In the late 1970s, it was a thing that the Turks started coming into Germany. And they started coming in under something called a guest arbeiter program, which was just a guest worker program. Because, see if this sounds familiar, even in the 1970s, they said there were jobs that Germans just wouldn't do. And so the Turks started coming in, and they were the laborers. They poured concrete, they tied rebar, they built homes, that sort of thing. Only with Germans' guest arbeiter program is if they stayed for, I think it was 20 years and paid taxes, they would get default German citizenship. But what happened was by the late 1980s and the early 1990s, as they got the citizenship, well, once they obtained the citizenship, this permanent resident status, they were then able to bring in any member of their family.
Oh, okay.
And then it got and then it got extended to their families. So you started getting Turks coming in really rampantly. Well, these Turks that had obtained citizenship, they started having kids who automatically became German citizens, which is what this guy was. That's the reason why. So the interesting part about this is those Turks that became German citizens did not have to give up their Turkish citizenship.
They so could remain they, Turkish citizens. They citizen. Get dual citizenship after that.
Yep. And the Germans, they did away with the guest arbeiter program because they realized they had screwed the pooch, but it was too far gone by the time they realized that. So what you ended up with was literally, guys, millions of Turks in Germany, all across the country, that were German citizens that couldn't be kicked out. Well, there was never any real organized crime in Germany until the Turks came in. And the mafia that's in Germany is called the Mari, M-A-R-I. And it's Syrians and Turks that run everything. The guns, the drugs, the prostitution, the gambling, all of the organized crime in Germany is done by these Turks and these Syrians who weren't there. This was not a real problem in Germany until this came in. So the world didn't learn a lesson is what I'm getting at. I just wanted to throw that out there, that the world didn't learn a lesson.
That's what I was going to say. That was my comment was going to be, it's like, man, we should have learned from this a long time ago that this doesn't work.
Yeah. Just like locking all the guns up doesn't either, because somehow he came up with a gun. You know, I mean, it's like, yeah. So, yeah, same story, 40th verse. You know, and obviously those people that he killed were not armed. I mean, you know, it must be the violence that they're worried about must be very polite over there. You know, hold on, we're gonna call the cops and they'll come and deal with you. Yeah, they were dealt with. And basically, sounds like he shot everyone in the youth welfare office that was involved, you know, and they were protecting this guy's wife and son. Doesn't say whether she's German, Turkish descent, what she is. I have no clue. But
yeah, it looked like it was a custody battle over something, over a 3-month-year-old baby or something. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, that's another thing about those, that's very much, they own it there. That's property to them. I mean, it's the way that they look at that. And, again, no assimilation. Here you have an individual who's been there, for a long period of time and received citizenship without any, you know, there's no acclimation to the country that he lives in or no absorption of the ways of. The only thing he's interested in is his way. So, they don't want to live in Turkey.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
No, I was going to throw it. There's an interesting piece of commentary in that article too that I thought was really important. And the what the author of the article said was, because this guy was a dual citizen, that the crime statistics will be reported that this was a German crime. And not a crime of someone like a Turk.
From a Turk.
And I did just a quick look at, you know, over the past decade of the crimes that were the crime rate in Germany has just grown incredibly, especially in the 2000s. And I started thinking, well, that makes sense because
they're reporting it as Germans when they're Turks.
That's right. Kids that were born to these people who, like what Tim was saying, got this newfound citizenship, well, the crime statistics are showing them as Germans and not immigrants or migrants or whatever, but they're not German. They're no more German than, I don't know, than Winston Churchill was. I mean, right. I mean, when you look at it in that sense, it's kind of a, man, the enemy is just a liar, isn't he? I mean, he's really of his father, the devil. And, you know, they found out a way to lie in their own crime statistics. I just found that kind of interesting.
Yeah, we have to be very careful with statistics because they're just a lot like surveys. Whoever writes them can skew that to their benefit, you know, and away from they don't always reveal the truth. I mean, and they should, but unfortunately, when you're allowed, it's like allowing people to define things or to set those parameters, you can skew them in a way that is very unfavorable towards the truth. So,
you know, Tim, here we are on the 4th of July celebrating our 250th anniversary, and one of the finest writers that the United States, that America has ever produced, was Mark Twain, old Samuel Clemens. And one of my favorite quotes of all time came from Mark Twain, and it had to do with statisticians. And that was, and his quote was, there are liars, there are damned liars, and then there's statisticians.
Yeah. Yeah. This is true. I mean, I think that we don't realize a lot of times how, I know someone who was taking a college class on statistical analysis, and they were like, they can make these things say whatever they want. You know, all they have to do is plug in the right factors, and it can totally change the outcome. You know, so, I mean, I know I just seen talking about 4th of July and these sort of things. This one just popped in there, and I don't have it in front of me. But to do it justice, there was a big outcry here on the FBI's recent crime statistics, and they were saying that armed citizens only resulted in failure of an armed felon or an armed, you know, individual committing violence in a 2% reduction. But the truth of the matter is when you get into the statistics, it's 52%. But the way that they couch that was such that it only came out at 2%, according to the way they wanted to say it. And it's like, okay. So it's a prime example of what we're looking at there, you know. So it's like, wow, we have to really watch a lot of things, because sometimes it's just not the way it appears, which is, what did God say about him perverting justice? You know, so it kind of left him upset. And that's what they do. They use the statistics to pervert justice.
Well, and I'd just like to take a side note and say, this is why I carry, you know, you never know where you're going to be, and when you're going to need it. And I'd rather have it and not need it than need it and not have it. And that's why I carry a Glock 43X. And, you know, it took me a while, and I'm a slow learner, but basically I'm to the point now in my life where when I put my pants on, I put my gun on. And it doesn't matter if it's a pair of pants or a pair of shorts. I put my sidearm on, and I carry, and it's one of those things. Is you never know where you're going to be. We're seeing more and more of these shootings, and it is, the world is a mad, mad place. There's crazy people all over the place, and you know, I rather have my sidearm and know how to use it than not. And encourage people, and it's not for everybody, and I get that, and there's people that don't want to, and that's fine, but you know, for me, it is part of me now. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to be armed, and you know, it might not be, it's not that I'm scared of anything, and you know, it might be protecting myself, it might be protecting somebody else, I don't know, but you know, it has become a lot easier to carry a firearm in 2026 than it was even 20 years ago. When I first got my, I got my concealed weapons permit. I'm trying to think. I got it when I was probably, I probably had it for 20 years. But 20 years ago, it was, probably 25 years ago, actually. 25 years ago, it was, you know, kind of a pain. And, you know, there was a lot of hoops and stuff to go through. It's so much easier now. And so many states have constitutional carry where you don't even have to have a permit. So it's a lot of things have become a lot easier. And, you know, exercise your rights, take advantage of it.
Yeah.
I'm full of quotes this morning.
Okay.
another fine American, Clint Smith, who was the founder of Thunder Ranch. This is one of my all-time favorite gun quotes. He had a lady ask him one time, and the lady said, "Are you so paranoid that you think you have to carry a gun with you at all times?" And he said, "Why would I be paranoid? I have a gun with me at all times."
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I hear you.
Well, and I got one by Sam Adams that I want to share too. And Sam Adams, I tell you what, I love a lot of his quotes. They mean a lot to me. But this one says, "It does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority. Keep on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men." And when I read that one, I thought that's what we're doing here. That's what we're trying to do, is trying to set those brush fires in the minds of men, you know. And, you know, that's, and when I thought about those brush fires, I thought about Jacob being that flame and Esau being the stubble. So that's what we're going to continue to do here. And that's our job.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, let's go on. We talked about Germany. Let's go on to, we usually about this time always talk about Israel. And this week we're going to talk about the killing of babies. What do you know about that, Will?
UN probe came out, this panel chief, and he actually was an Indian dude. But I guess the United Nations, once again, I think I'm getting used to saying this every weekend. I can't believe I'm agreeing with the United Nations, but they did an in-depth look at what's been going on in Gaza by the state of Israel. And they found, here's a quote, that the violence unleashed by Israeli forces was unjustified and disproportionate in considerable terms, said this chair of the UN Independent International Commission on Inquiry on the Occupied Palestinian Territory. And they said that the excuse that Hamas could be using hospitals and schools as bases to carry out its attacks will not justify completely demolishing 97% of all of Gaza's schools. It went on basically to talk about that. They're saying that this is disproportionate, that if you believe these October 7th attacks that supposedly happened where 1,200 people were supposedly killed, that the military operation in Gaza has killed over 73,000 people and injured over 173, with a large majority of those being children. And what they have found out is, this is a quote again, that there is a pattern of targeted attacks on children. And he said, when you shoot a 10-day-old baby breastfeeding on his mother through his head, and you can by no means label such a baby as an enemy of the state of Israel and justify these kinds of attacks. So that wasn't an analogy. This is documented what they have been doing. And Israeli has these quadcopter drones, and they are using thermal imaging cameras that can distinguish children from adults. And they were absolutely targeting these children. Now, I'm going to say this next part, and I want you guys to tell me what this sounds like and of something that happened here in the United States. This report says that children were specifically targeted, and it is clear from the number of, quote, instances of babies with gunshot wounds to their head and neck to cause maximum damage. The UN official went on to add that babies were aimed at with, quote, tiny cube-shaped pellets that spread like a cluster of ammunition and destroy all the internal organs. He said, so it became very clear that babies were special targets of the IDF. And he noted that Israeli soldiers recounted on television interviews how they targeted children with quadcopters, claiming that their, quote, commanders complimented them for doing that. It just goes on and on and on of documentation of what Israel was done, what was it, you know, and it talks about the intentional demolition of hospitals with patients still in the hospital. One element of genocide that they were quoting was to prevent childbirth, and they were claiming the Israeli forces were targeting mothers who were pregnant, that these were special high yield targets. It's sick. It's just sick.
So everybody's got to obey the Geneva Convention except for Israel.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yep. Just another interesting, just because we don't hear things like this, and we should. Newborn babies were targeted, but Israel has also targeted orphanages in Gaza, is what this report, and it's cited that over 58,000 orphan children, or children had been orphaned in 2 years. 58,000 children had been orphaned, and once they were orphaned, they were being placed in these third-party, like NGO orphanages. Well, Israel started targeting the orphanages, and it's just sick. But when I read that about the targeting of babies with their head and their neck, and using tiny cube-shaped pellets that act like cluster ammunition, I thought Charlie Kirk.
Yeah. Yep. I thought the same thing. Who has that technology? Who's using that kind of stuff? And we've been saying that for a while. It's like, you know, and that I'm going to stand behind that. It's like, you know, I think the Mossad was behind that 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I, for sure. in that article that you just read, and we're talking about, you know, that's when they were, when it says, where did it say it? Anyway, I lost it. But, you know, they were praised by their commanders for targeting children with those quadcopters. I mean, they're just a bunch of sick individuals. It's just, you know, ridiculous. And it's like, okay, and the UN's doing this investigation, but what are they going to do about it? Are they doing anything about it? I mean, it's, you know.
The answer is no. They're not. And I'm not going to make any excuses for the United Nations, because they've never really done anything other than screw things up anyway.
Right.
The one thing I will say, though, is they're saying it.
I know. I agree 100%. Yeah, it's like, well, I know. And it's like, I never thought that I would agree with anything with the United Nations, but they've actually come out with some good stuff recently. And it's like, you know, wow, I'm surprised that they're putting it out.
Yeah. But it sounds like to me like this is just another sacrifice to Moloch, you know. I mean,
sacrifice.
And I mean, you look at this. Well, better these children than, you know, using our children for this, because we got to sacrifice no matter what. So, you know, we'd rather it was your children or their children or whatever. But these are infants. I mean, and you know, I think about the fact that I know that. During times of war, the cities or villages were accidentally attacked, and there's been collateral damage that involved children. And I can think of some of our soldiers or stories of different things like that, where it was mind altering to them to do that. They could hardly live with themselves if they had accidentally done something like that. And these people here, they're actually on television patting them on the back saying, "Hey, good job." You know, I mean, it's like, wow. What a difference.
And just kind of, I don't think this is far-fetched. I just want to say to bolster up what we're talking about here. We have progressed to the point in technology on the battlefield where you can capture a specific target, a specific human being, and bioprint that person's heartbeat. To the point of, so you can use artificial intelligence to pick them out in a crowd by the rhythm of their heart. And this is being weaponized by people like the IDF and in how they target Palantir was on the forefront of this, and Lavender artificial intelligence that the Israelis developed. This is the type of stuff of how they're weaponizing AI. So the reason I say that is they are bragging that in a crowd of people, they can pick out one individual by the signature of his heartbeat. But they're leveling hospitals and schools. So if you're saying that there's a particular Hamas leader that is in this apartment complex, you're bragging you can send a guided munition in within a 3-meter span, but they're not doing that. They're just leveling the whole building, and they're doing it because they are making sacrifices to Moloch. That they're using it as an excuse to kill thousands when they have the ability to just kill the one. And that's the type of enemy these people are. They're bloodthirsty, and that I just felt that needed to be said.
I agree 100%. And I want to read a scripture real quick. And when you were talking about that, this scripture came to mind. And I think it's it's something that is prophetic. It's found in Psalms 137, verses 8 and 9. It says, "Daughter of Babylon, you, devastated one, blessed will be the one who repays you with the retribution which you have repaid us. Blessed will be the one who seizes and dashes your children's against the rock."
There you go.
So I think, I think that we know that daughter of Babylon is, and there's going to be a day that, and their day's coming.
Yep, it is. There you go.
You know, along those lines, go ahead, Tim.
No, they're just going to get paid back in full and then some. Yeah. So they're going to get their interest on that deal. So.
Well, I was going to bring up, we're talking about the state of Israel, and we know who is at the helm of that government, but it's not just that government, because if you look at the Ukraine, it's the same little tiny hat people that are making the decisions there. And I don't know if you guys got to see the retribution that happened this week there in Kiev. Did y'all see that, where the Russians just rained hell down on them?
Yeah,
I did. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that was some impressive footage.
Some of the media quotes from that left me just kind of going, really? It's like, well, and it's just, there's no reason. They're trying to get peace, and they're doing this. And it was like, and we talked about that, a week or two ago, the fact that they were talking about it, and Putin was basically like, why? They're not interested in it anyways. And that very night they attacked, one of their places over there, one of their facilities, their refineries and everything else, and killed a bunch of people. And then they killed rescue workers that were trying to clean it up, so it's like, turnabouts, I don't know, turnabout fair play. I mean, hello. Yeah.
Yeah, the moment that Russia says, they take their Popeye stance and say, I've had all I can stand and I can't stand no more, and they hit what appears to be, depending on what news you look at, legitimate military targets. These were military production facilities making drones and guidance systems and that sort of thing. They happen to be in neighborhoods and amongst apartments and stuff like that. And like you were talking about them and the fog of war, you send a munition in to hit a factory, it may cause an apartment to, especially with gas lines and that sort of thing, to explode. Well, the world loses its mind on that. They lose their mind on that. But in the same week, I don't know if you guys, I didn't see this in any mainstream news. The Ukraine used their drones to destroy a Belarusian tourist bus. So there is no war in Belarus. There isn't a theater of war there. There's no active fighting. But the Ukrainians sent their drones into the sovereign land of Belarus and destroyed, I think it was 16 people died, maybe 12, I don't know off the top of my head, and just these innocent people that were on a tourist bus just blew it up. And the world doesn't lose their mind on that. And I don't know. There's definitely a two-tier system, both in justice and but also in the coverage of the news, for doggone sure.
Yeah, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, talking about Israel, sure. I guess, you know, we go from the Iron Dome to having lasers that can shoot stuff from out of space. That's been pretty crazy. Technology's not cheap, and man, they're spending a ton of money on protecting themselves, that's for sure.
I wonder how much of that is our money.
Yeah, all of it.
Well, the article I read that was interesting was late last year, and they're calling it Iron Beam, by the way, which is interesting, but kind of takes
you got
you
an Iron
there.
Dome and an Iron Beam, and yeah,
kind of takes you back to that Bible story in about the iron feet and clay mixed in. But the big thing that was in there was that it was delivered to the IDF late last year, which means they didn't build it. Which kind of goes along with the fact that
so
yeah,
where did it come from?
They don't build anything. I think that's interesting that they don't somehow, maybe that's part of that recent upgrade to the military where we're sharing our information with them, but I don't think that document was signed or, you know, in force at that time, but they've got it anyways. My guess would be that it probably came from us, like you said.
Well, it would make sense because, I mean, if you listen to Mike Huckabee, I mean, Israel is the 436th district, congressional district, right? I mean, this is a part of the United States.
Yeah.
He needs to go to school and learn what those are. Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's how he greets everybody when he welcomes them into the embassy.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
That's just over the top.
Treason is what it is. I mean, that's treason. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. What about, this was something that popped up that, we were talking, it's been close to a year ago, but we were talking about Ukrainians being in bed with the Mexican drug cartels. And we were talking about that, and I don't really think we had a whole lot of proof, but it was something that we were pretty sure that was taking place. And I think that, that's been confirmed now.
Yeah, they're definitely cooperating with the drug cartels. Those are illegal groups down there in Mexico. You know, profit narcotics.
Yeah, and that's what they're doing in Kiev. You know, they act like they're trying to make everything so much better, but they're turning it into a drug haven is what they're doing. And they've been in bed with these Mexicans, and they're bringing in the fentanyl and the opium and all this synthetic, you know, kill you drugs. And you know. Trying to make some, I guess they're trying to make money on it. They're making money on it. But they're destroying a society at the same time. And yeah, it's just a mess.
The warning here for the United States is this. If you go back to a year ago, like what we were talking about is, you know, everything has a price. There's tit for tat. It's you scratch your back, you know, or you scratch my back, I'm going to scratch yours, or, you know, whatever. Somebody's going to benefit from this. And what we talked about a year ago was these unsubstantiated and semi-substantiated reports that there were Mexican nationals, cartel reps, that were in the Ukraine learning drone technology, these weaponized drones. And doesn't it make sense now that the tit for tat, the payment there was the cartels are now shipping fentanyl into the Ukraine to act as the springboard of the distribution for the rest of mainland Europe. And so the Ukraine, the crooked Ukrainian government is going to profit heavily from this, of being the, essentially, the, I guess, the sovereign stash house for the fentanyl movement through mainland Europe. Well, they don't have any money, supposedly. So how do you think they paid these Mexican cartels? Well, they paid them in the technology that they're yeah. using to destroy Belarusian yes. tourist bus.
Yeah.
Because yeah. right now, inside the Ukraine is the leading producer. They're churning out drones, faster than you can imagine. These weaponized militaristic drones. That's the same kind of factories that the Russians targeted this week in these missile strikes. Well, if they're churning them out this fast, and now we're being told, substantiated reports coming out of the region that drugs are flowing in from the Mexican cartels, you better believe that weaponized drones are flooding into Mexico.
Hmm. Yeah.
And if they're flooding, go ahead,
yeah.
Jim.
Well, they are definitely, the Russia's Foreign Intelligence Service was saying that they're acting as a gateway, the Ukraine is, to bring that fentanyl into the EU.
Right.
Very shortly here, we're going to have some major, press releases about the fact that they're facing a major fentanyl, infusion into that area. And it's all coming out of the Ukraine. So, that's interesting. And the Ukraine, the SVR was also talking about the fact that these Latin American cartels have their eyes on Ukraine's black market of weapons. The Ukraine is kind of a, really what I take away from all the reading I do on the Ukraine over there is it's kind of a wild west of drugs, sex, and black market weapons. So they're collecting up and gathering up and trading for all of this stuff. That's why they're so insatiable for our cash over here and everything else is they're buying those up and they're trading them off somewhere. Well, those Latin American cartels are right there on our southern border, So that's like yep. pouring money and gasoline on the fire down there for this border issue. I mean, not a good thing. They're getting training, they're getting weapons, they're getting drugs, and money. Yeah, bad deal.
Yeah, we don't hear much about the border nowadays, but don't think that war has been won because it's going to rear its head again.
Right. Well, and I think that this is a perfect example of them gear enough to do that. I mean, they could be using these drones to fly fentanyl into the United States or drugs or whatever or weaponized, for a major attack against our southern border.
Absolutely. And they're continuing.
And I think that it's constantly. I think we're getting closer and closer to that all the time. I'd be okay if we pulled out of all these other countries and went down and did have a war there at the southern border.
Yep, we need thrown back. Yeah. Well, and they're continuing to develop new drugs. I mean, I've heard about a new one here that makes fentanyl look like, cotton candy. They're talking about, what is it? I think it's called the ISO or something like that. It's it's about 10 to 15 times stronger than fentanyl. And there isn't any kind of remedy for it or they just don't have any way to overcome it at this particular time, at least that we're being told about. So, is this weaponized? This is chemical weapons, right? I mean, isn't it? That's the way I see it.
I think so too. Yeah.
Weapons. I think you're spot on.
And I've seen some people, even some of this illegal, so-called legal drugs and stuff that they're trying to outlaw and stuff like that. I've personally witnessed several people that have not been on something that they thought was safe and something that they thought that was going to help them. You know, everybody, I think everybody that actually gets on some of that stuff thinks it's going to help them, thinks they need it. It's going to help with their pain. It's going to help with this or that. Maybe they're just junkies. I don't know. But I've seen some people that have tried to get off of some of this stuff, and oh my goodness, it's I feel for them. My heart goes out to them. You know, it's some bad deal. And I know of two people that got on fentanyl, and I don't even know how people get fentanyl. I mean, that's something we'll discuss down the road. But man, you know, fentanyl, it's like we hear about it all the time, and we hear about it. It's in the schools and stuff like that. But I mean, I've never seen, somebody offers you some, you want some fentanyl. But apparently it is so easy to get, and it's everywhere. And I know two people that have got on it, and I'm like, why did you start taking fentanyl? And it was just, it was the easiest thing to get, and it's cheap, and they got on it, and it messed with their head, and it changed the way that they thought.
Wow. Well, yeah, and that ties into the fact that the Ukrainian military is hooked on fentanyl, according to, what is it, Deutschwell. Mm-hmm. They've been, a lot of these guys, we don't realize how short-handed the Ukrainian military is. Some of these guys have been on rotation. They're not on rotation. They've been out there on the front lines for, 4 or 5 years. I mean, you don't put a soldier in a firefight for that long without rotating them out, because they have psychological, mental, and physical collapse. So they're looking the other way, and fentanyl use is just going wild in the Ukraine. Well, we already know that trying to deal with people who are on something like this and possibly going through withdrawal or needing a fix or something, their brain doesn't work right. You can't deal with them like you would a normal individual. So is this not going to create problems with military maneuvers or a peace process or any number of things like that? More than likely, right? So, yeah. I mean, according to the report published last week by Deutschwell, half of the Ukrainian soldiers serving on the front line have experienced or addicted to the use of drugs, alcohol, or a combination of both, just to keep going. That's 50%. Wow. That's a lot. Yeah. So, yeah.
Wow. That is a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm.
Where do you want to go next? We had this Russia targeting the Ukrainian infrastructures over there.
Yep. Yep. I was actually going to come back closer to home, Jason. And there was a pretty big Supreme Court. Did y'all hear about the birthright citizenship that they came back? And,
oh, my goodness.
And said, if you've been here for 13 hours and you give birth, and you're from China, then your baby is an American by default. That's pretty much the way I see it. I don't know, maybe y'all see it different, but
no, that's the way I saw it too.
I don't know. And the so-called conservatives, I think three of them, we're supposed to have this majority 6-3 court with these conservative justices. Well, three of those so-called conservative justices, they sided on the side of birthright citizenship, and I find that disgusting. What about y'all?
Oh, I found it completely disgusting. I mean, I don't think that there's even any other countries in the world that actually do that. Is there?
Canada.
Canada does? Canada's okay. The only other country. Well, they're overtaken too by the same guys that we are.
Yep.
If we go to Mexico and have your kid, you're on vacation and have your wife has a kid, your kid's not a Mexican. It's still an American U.S. citizen. You know, that's the way it is in Germany and France and Sweden, you know, just about everywhere else. Yeah, that was a bunch of garbage what they did there.
That was definitely a foothold moment. I mean, they stumbled there and shouldn't have done that.
Do we have any recourse on that? Is there any way, is it a done deal?
So, interestingly enough, one of those guys, Kavanaugh, one of the Supreme Court justices, he sided with birthright citizenship. But I read his opinion, and it was kind of an interesting opinion. It was real wishy-washy, where he didn't come right out and say that the 14th Amendment guarantees this. But what he did say was there's an immigration law from 1940 that was passed by Congress that he interpreted as being the gateway to birthright citizenship. So in his opinion, said the only way to write this is for Congress to repeal that law and to create a new law saying you can't get birthright citizenship. And I read that and thought, well, that's never going to happen. You know, we can't get Congress to do anything, you know? So I doubt that would happen. So I got a sneaking suspicion that, this is probably the way it's going to be.
The word repeal is definitely not in their dictionary. They don't know that word.
That's exactly right, Tim. That's exactly right. I mean, you stop and think, what did it take, 50 years for the Supreme Court to try to straighten up, abortion in America? So for 50 years, that was the law of the land, so to speak. I don't see anything happening anytime soon. I think this is going to be the way it's going to be on purpose. And that's the other side of this is, you know, why would they want this? Why would this be such a cornerstone that they want to protect? And it's because they want to continue to overrun us with racial strangers. I mean, that's all that it comes down to.
Yeah.
In my book, at least. I mean, that's the way it is.
I did hear some information that there was talk about changing the incoming requirements for visitors to the United States or that kind of stuff, to the point that no pregnant women would be allowed in. I mean, it was like, if you're pregnant and you are of foreign nationality, you can't come, not even for a visit, not for a minute. You know, you're denied access. So
yeah, I heard that debate too, and they said that from what I heard that it'll never happen, that there's no way that they could enforce that. It'd be too much discrimination. And I would tend to agree with that, but who knows.
Well, I was just thinking of other aspects of trying to, you know.
Oh yeah, I agree.
But yeah, that I was like, well, you can do that. So, yeah.
How about this? Nobody from communist China should be allowed to come to the United States.
Right.
How about that?
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that's common sense. You know, whether they're coming here for 90 days, 30 days. I mean, remember, this is the same, I can't remember the exact number, but I think the Trump administration was still going to give out like 20,000 student visas to communist Chinese. Why?
Gee,
why would you do that?
Yeah.
You know, like that's,
we know they're the enemy, but we're going to do it anyway.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I haven't heard any rhetoric on this, but you know, the real issue here is, of course, if the child is an American citizen, then mom and dad get to stay too because they're his parents. And then later that opens the door for other family members. But, you know, to my way of thinking, it's like, well, that's fine. Leave the child here. You guys are out of here. You're not citizens. He is. We're probably going to end up paying for him anyways through the welfare system. So, you know, goodbye. And most of them would probably take them with them. You know, they'd be like, oh, no, we're living. Okay. So I don't think that'll happen either. But, you know, that's one little harder-nosed way that it could be handled and could be maybe cut back. I don't know.
Well, and that's what a lot of – go ahead, Will.
No, I was going to say, let me throw this against the wall and see if it sticks. So I couldn't find any real numbers on how many babies of Israelis are born in the United States, because they keep getting these, you know, dual citizenship kind of thing. Do you think that this ruling has to do with that, maybe? That the Jews that are coming over here and having babies, they can keep doing it so that they can keep being citizens of the United States?
I think
States?
That's what it is, because I think that they like being able to come over here, and then they got a sanctuary country, state that they can escape to. You can go, you know, be a pedophile or, you know, rape some kids and go back to Israel, and you're just fine. No extradition.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a thought.
Wow. Well, we're talking about a lot of stuff today. we got about 5 minutes left, guys. Hour's gone fast.
Wow. Well, I would want to bring up one a little more local here, and that's the fact that all these prairie fires out here in Nebraska, they're offering a $10,000 reward right now for information leading to the setting of these fires by the arsonist responsible.
Really?
So I kind of took that as a, isn't that interesting? We talked about that when they were occurring, that, you know, they were lightning, they were this or that. And it was like, yeah, I don't think so. You know, I mean, that's kind of weird. First time in memory that we've had a bunch of lightning strikes cause massive multi-million acre fires all over the country. But so evidently somebody who has something to say about it is, you know, government-wise is looking at the fact that, these were set. So it was intentional, which is just another aspect of this unseen war that we're talking about, against the American people's food supply and fuel supply and electric and everything else, infrastructure. Yeah. So I just thought I'd throw that out there. I thought that was kind of uniquely interesting.
That is.
We need to start keeping a tally sheet of things we talk about that end up coming true.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly.
Pitbull hat ledger, or whatever we call it. Yeah.
Right. Whatever you want to call it.
It's like there's just no way that was coincidental or accidental. So,
right.
I tell you, we've had a lot of rain out here, and God's working. It's a good man. The grass is coming back, like, in, you know.
Praise God.
Heavy duty. So that's been a blessing. I mean, I think it's probably better grass than what we had originally.
Praise the Lord. So, that's awesome.
Yes.
Well, and I think that there's a lot of this stuff that's happening, these fires and different things that they're trying to do. And it's, you know, attacks of the enemy. And, you know, greater are the forces that are for us than the forces that are against us. And, you know, I believe that, and we're going to stand on it. I know that there's, you know, today is, you know, 250th year anniversary, and, you know, I don't know if that's old or if that's young. You know, I was thinking about it. It's like, man, that's a long time, but it's like, you know, that's still young compared to a lot of countries and nations. And I'm just happy to, you know, to be an American. I'm happy to be a patriot. I'm happy to be a Christian, and I'm happy that I know that this was the nation that was born in a day, you know, not that bastardized state of Israel over there that they call Israel. This is it. And this is, you know, this is the apple of God's eyes, America, the new Jerusalem. And I believe that. And in honor of Pastor Peters and, you know, being the 250th anniversary of America, if anybody would like the book, Greatest Discovery of Our Age, or the Abrahamic Covenant, you know, I'd like to offer those free of charge. If you shoot me an email, give me your address, I will make sure that it gets sent to you free of charge. If you got to order it within the next week, and we'll make sure that those get sent out to you. Also, I believe that The Greatest Love Story Never Told, it's a $10 book. If you'd like that, I'll make that offer. Pick one of the books, and I will send it out to you and make sure that you don't have to pay the shipping. You don't have to pay for the book. It's our gift to you from the Radio Ranch Wranglers here, and we'd like to send it to you. It's good information, valuable information, and it's just exciting, and it's you know, it's exciting when you know the truth and you know our true identity and who we are, and that this is the land and we are the people. It changes everything, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
changed my life,
and I think it's changed every one of our lives. I mean, I know it has. That's why we're here. So praise the Lord for that. You know, encourage you to join us for church tomorrow. We're going to cut things short. We're doing an hour today. All of us have got places to go and other stuff that we're going to tend to. And we know that everybody else has a lot of stuff going on, too, for the 4th of July. And I'd just like to wish everybody a happy 4th of July, a happy and blessed and safe 4th of July. Be safe out there. Have a good day. Be a patriot. Shoot some guns. Light some fireworks if it's safe. Go out and celebrate. It is a good day.
Amen.
And with that, we're going to sign out. Till next week, folks. Thanks for being here. God bless. Thanks, man.
You've heard the story about the King of Kings, who was born of a virgin and above all things. Yes, he was, and he wasn't, and he is, and he's yet to come. And how he went to the desert and was tempted thrice by the serpent, who was Satan and the father of lies. How he did all the things that he did, 'cause he was Yahweh's own son. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. So they hung him from a tree till he was crucified. Then they carried him and buried him in a tomb 3 days and three nights long. And with a bang and a clang and a great big boom, the angel removed the stone from the tomb. And when they all went looking inside, well, Jesus, he was gone. And now you know there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. The Father calls it for the Son to be redeemed. When you're resurrected from the grave, you leave no deposit. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. Now as the Spirit moved and the church caught fire and the gospel spread through the Roman Empire, that old devil's old world order was turned upside down. It seemed the more that he martyred and he crucified, the more the Holy Ghost of Jesus Christ was multiplied, until the gospel of the saving grace of Christ was finally spread the world around. All because there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. The Father, he caused it for the Son to be redeemed. When you're resurrected from the grave, you leave no deposit. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. Now the Muslims say it's down to Allah you bow. The Hindus pray they'll come back as a cow. The Orientals say only Buddha's the way. But what are they gonna say on Resurrection Day? Now the world's got leaders that are trying to lead, but the truth of the matter is they're all deceived, 'cause they've all got secrets in their past they're trying to hide. So when Satan steps up to make his deals, he threatens to tell all the other big wheels. So they all conspire together to save their own hides. But you know there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet. The Father had caused it for the Son to be redeemed. When you're resurrected from the grave, you leave no deposit. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in in Jesus' closet. Yes, there ain't no skeleton in Jesus' closet.
Time for Scriptures for America Worldwide with Pastor Peter J. Peters. All around the world, from the United States to Canada, Europe, Russia, South Africa, Australia, the Holy Spirit is stirring the hearts of godly Christians. The Bible says, quote, as an eagle stirreth up his nest, end quote. We invite you to stay tuned as Pastor Peter J. Peters shines the mighty light of the gospel on the source of our problems and the only solution. Please keep Scriptures for America in your prayers. And now, Pastor Peters.
And greetings in the blessed holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Pastor Peters, and we're broadcasting live. It's Friday, February 13th, Friday the 13th, 2008. And it's good to be with you. We just got out here in time to turn on the radio mic, and I thought this night's radio broadcasting, sometime tonight we'd open up the phone lines. You can call in. So you might want to take the number down. It's 307-745-5913. One should not be short of things to talk about, considering the week that's gone by. I guess the first thing it should be said is that it sure went by fast. Already I find myself facing tomorrow, which is Saturday, which is sermon day for the next day, Sunday. And the book of Enoch says that in the very last days, time would speed up. And Jesus said that except those days be shortened. Now, I've been talking to people off and on, and I really do believe that time has speeded up, or the days are shorter. It seems like every time this preacher turns around, there's another Sunday sermon to do. My apologies that I haven't been on the air live much this week, but we have been doing much work this week. We've got a new project. Sometime back, I pointed out to you how Jesus pointed out to us that the Spirit is like the wind. You never know which direction that wind's gonna blow, and you don't know when it's gonna blow, and that's sometimes the way it is around here, and I didn't know which way I would be going in regards to ministry work, but suddenly we have on the table a new project that I think is going to be quite profound and play a great part in prophecy that is being unfolded right now in our time. And that prophecy is sort of twofold. In the book of Daniel, chapter 12, it says that in the end time that knowledge would increase. I don't believe that that's technical knowledge, although technical knowledge certainly has been increasing. I believe it's knowledge involved in the war that's going on right now in our midst. Most people don't know there is a war being waged between good and evil, between the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ and Satan, and it would appear, if we looked at the scene, that Satan is winning. Well, I think God is getting the enemy right where we want them, high and mighty and prideful and cocky. The tares are sticking their heads up. And as a result, they've been getting ahead because of occult knowledge that they have that we haven't had. Think of it this way. If you have a war being waged, and I have access and understanding of gunpowder, and all you understand is bow and arrow and a flint rock on for an arrowhead, I got an advantage on you. Or it'd be more modern way of illustration, if one side has an atomic bomb, the other only has conventional bombs. You see, that knowledge is, I think, what Hosea said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Well, the other side has had some knowledge that we haven't had. Now, something's been going on around here, let's face it. This preacher remembers what it was like to be 5 years old. It was in the very early 50s, and I remember what the country was like. Fact is, I remember my first day of school quite well. I remember that when I went there, I figured I better learn something because I knew my daddy that night would ask me, "Peter John, what did you learn in school?" And I was desperate to learn something. I got there and I thought, man, this thing is kind of a farce. I'm learning the color, and I had a little rug, I had to lay down and take a nap and this and that. But she did tell a nursery rhyme, and I made a point to learn that nursery rhyme. It was the first thing I learned in school. It went like this. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all the king's men and all the king horses couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. And that's the very first thing I learned in school. When I got home later that day, when my daddy came home, sure enough, he did what I suspected he was going to do. "Peter John, what did you learn in school?" And I proudly quoted to him that Humpty Dumpty nursery rhyme. I think maybe I was called for this job even back then, because I was talking to my friend Red Beckman not long back, and he brought up that poem, that nursery rhyme, Humpty Dumpty, saying that, you know, that's exactly what's happening up there in D.C. Humpty Dumpty's fell off the wall, and all the king's men, all the king's horses don't know how to put him back together again. Well, I didn't mean to get off on that, but I'm off onto it. That knowledge is increasing, though, because there is something there in that city that we did not know, and you will know, because Jesus said nothing. There is nothing hidden that will not be made known. And that knowledge that's increasing is going to reveal the things hidden. And there's been some things hidden that has allowed them to accomplish what they've accomplished. When I was a boy in the 50s, this country had just been through a war, and there was nothing on the face of this earth that could have compared to this nation. No one had the bomb but this nation. It was totally self-sufficient. It had factories, prosperity, the whole works. And in my lifetime, you might say on this preacher's watch, look, see what has happened to this country. Now, it goes beyond just the natural. There is something supernatural that has caused this to happen. And it is in the area of knowledge. They've had a knowledge, an occult knowledge, a working of something. And that's something I think the Lord has allowed us to discover, and that's something that's coming your way. Just so some of you will know why I haven't been here at the microphone, we've been working, and we got more coming to you. You know, here I've already come to you in about 10 minutes of broadcasting, and we haven't had prayer. We best do it. Our Father in heaven, we unashamedly pray in that blessed holy name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord Jesus, I know that people are still praying that God Save America Again prayer, and we're praying it right now together. Oh, save America again. Redeem your land and your people. Bring about repentance in this land. Remove the scales from their eyes. Awaken them to begin to see the unclean and the uncircumcised in their midst. Help us again to have, well, just move through your spirit so that that law that's been kind of covered up on our heart would become real to us again. And we would really and truly hunger and thirst for righteousness in this land, wherein that your laws would be carried out. Our children would be safe to play. The women would be women again, and men, men. And Christianity would be the norm of the day, a way of life, not this Judeo-Christian nonsense burped from the churches today and these mega churches. Oh, Heavenly Father, just put a, just make a move by your Spirit for national revival in this land. As I said, bring us men that are men again, men of God, Christian men and women that are women again, women of God. We so pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't know what we're going to be preaching exactly on Sunday morning, but I got some ideas, and we are going to look at a scripture tonight. So many things that we could cover, but I guess today, this Friday the 13th, they made sure they got that big bailout. How many billions is? I don't know. They made sure it was passed. I think there was a reason they wanted to make sure it was passed on this Friday the 13th. It's a very important day to them. I remember Friday the 13th, my birthday, Friday the 13th. I was 13 years old on Friday the 13th back there, a ways back. But 13 seems to be an important number to them. And a disproportionate number of cornerstones in D.C. were laid on that date, 13. So on this 13th day of February, Friday the 13th, they made sure they got that so-called, they call it an economic stimulus package. It's rape, rob, pillage package from, if the truth be known. But they got it passed. I understand Nancy Pelosi got her little sweetie Fanny on a plane and was flying over there to see the Pope. He's going to give her some kind of award, so I was told. And, of course, the big news today, I'll have to tell you that in the very early morning hours, I was under great oppression and sorrow. I did not know why, but I think maybe it had to do with that plane crash that took place today. We forget that it's just not a number of 40-some people or whatever the number was that died on that plane. Each one of those individuals, they have loved ones, maybe a husband, wife, fiancé, or mothers, fathers, aunts, uncles, brothers, sisters, and the sorrow just generates out there. I could just sense it this morning. It's been a difficult day. But I noticed as I traveled today from the Radio Ranch down to the church and back, taking care of this other project we got going, that there was all kinds of talk about that plane, but there was one thing they made sure you never heard talked about. Wasn't even a possibility. They didn't even want that possibility to be put in your mind, and that is sabotage. And when I heard that that 9/11 widow, Eckhart, was on that plane, she'd already been to see President Obama. I've been told, and I can't confirm this, that she knows the real scoop on that 9/11 story. And if you think, well, we won't get off on that, there's been plenty of other programs on shortwave that has exposed what really went on with that. And I understand that I was told that she gave the president a tape on that. You could look at her and see that she was a fighter. Well, anyway, she was on that plane that went down, and that would make me suspect sabotage. But, you know, all the other planes had the same amount of ice on their wings coming in there. I'm no airline pilot, but I am a pilot, and I just think that there's a reason they have not ever put in your mind sabotage. Like I said, I just came out here and turned the radio mic on. One thing that I do want to read before we get to the phone lines tonight, if we do get to them, is a prophecy in Isaiah 10. I've read it before, but with this economic stimulus package passed, I just think I need to read it again. I told you that I remember what it was like in this country as a young boy, five-year-old boy in the 50s. This preacher was born in 46, in case you're wondering. So when I was five, it was 51, but I remember the 50s quite well. And I don't know if any of you remember, but that wasn't that long ago when America, everyone had jobs, everyone was prosperous, there was silver behind those silver certificates, and there was silver in our coins, and there were factories that were a-humming and a-buzzing, and we were self-sufficient. Now, that's been 50 years, a little over 50 years, I guess, but in a 50-year period of time, what has happened with Congress convening in those five decades? Take a good look at your country today, and I bring that out in light of this prophecy in Isaiah 10. In verse 17, it says, "And the light of Israel will become a fire, and his Holy One a flame, and it will burn and devour his thorns and his briars in a single day. And he will destroy the glory of his forest and of his fruitful garden, both soul and body. And it will be as when a sick man wastes away, and the rest of the trees of his forest will be so small in number that a child could write them down." I want to stop there. I'm in Isaiah 10. I just finished verse 19. This is prophetic language when it's talking about the trees, when it's talking about the thorns and talking about the fire, and we're not going to go into each part of that prophecy. This is the part that I want to get to, and it has to do with the remnant and what I believe, what I'm talking about right now, in verse 20. "Now it will come about in that day that the remnant of Israel and those of the house of Jacob who have escaped will never again rely on the one who struck them, but will truly rely on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. A remnant will return, the remnant of Jacob, to the mighty God. For though your people, O Israel, may be like the sand of the sea, only a remnant within them will return. A destruction is determined, overflowing with righteousness. For a complete destruction, one that is decreed, the Lord God of hosts will execute in the midst of the whole land. I would not be doing my job if I did not, as this broadcast goes out across the land and much of the world, if I did not let you know that the Word of God is true and there is indeed a destruction determined. And it's going to be the remnant that survive." Now, verse 20 says, this remnant who have escaped. Escaped what? I believe it's talking about the captivity of the mind. Paul said, "See to it that no one takes you captive," when he was writing to a group of Christians. What was he talking about? A captivity in the mind. Have we lost our mind? That Congress, in that five-decade period that I've lived through, they've seen to it that those factories are closed. They've seen to it that our money is now no longer sound. And what are the people doing as far as the masses? They're now relying on the one who struck them. That's what verse 20 says. It says the remnant who has escaped will never again rely on the one who struck them, but will truly rely on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. But those that have become so socialistic, they have now become, they've gone a-whoring, that's what the Bible calls it, after other gods. They now turn to this government Baal god that has struck them, and they say, "Help us, help us." The remnant does not. And so there are a lot of them, like a bunch of hogs at the hog trough, ready for their economic stimulus package. God only knows how many are expecting some kind of rebates and never paid taxes in their life and so forth and so on, but I think that scripture applies. I got a little angry today. I stopped as I was on my way down to, from the radio ranch down to this little project we got going at the church. Paid for the gas and little store there I stop at in Laramie. And they got a magazine rack there, you know, everything from fly fishing to hunter magazines to Sports Illustrated And there was the swimsuit edition. And I looked at that as I was waiting for my cash back from the cash register there, the person behind it. And it was nothing but pornography, and it made me so angry. I know it's so mild compared to everything else that's going on TV and all, but I thought to myself, when are there going to be men and women again that stand up and say, we don't want this kind of stuff in our communities? I looked at that Sports Illustrated, just a cover. No, I didn't pick it up. All I had to do was look at the cover. And I want to tell you, back in the late 50s, say about 1960, my brother was 7 years older than I, and when I was out there at the bunkhouse on the ranch, he had these magazines. He bought them, I guess you call them girly magazines, but they were nothing like what's out there today. What he was buying, and you had to go to a back alley joint to buy them, called Frank's Dirty Little Market is what everybody called it there, in that little Nebraska town. But anyway, here it is, right on the front, right out there in the open now, that at least in those days, no respectable store would carry that kind of stuff. It had to be some back alley joint. But, well, like I said, it's so minor compared to everything else that's going on. It made me angry, though. But I think this song is fitting. It has to do with, do we have a spine? New song, I don't think I've ever played it. It's going to be in our songbook, the second Scriptures for America Circuit Ridings Preacher Songbook.
On this heart of mine, I keep my eyes on Jesus all the time. We are the branches and he is the vine. I have a spine, I walk the line. I find it very, very easy to be true when I get down on my knees and pray to you. God's word is master of all I say and do. His will is mine, I walk the line. Shows me what's wrong and what is right. I have a spine, I walk the line. I face temptation every single day, but my Jesus always makes a way. He provides my escape every time. I have a spine, I walk the line. I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes on Jesus all the time. We are the branches and he is the vine. I have a spine, I walk the line. I have a spine, I walk the line.
It's an old Johnny Cash remake. Oh, Lord, give us men that are men of God again. Give us women who are women of God again. You know, I was talking to one of the Radio Ranch Wranglers, and we were talking about, it was Richard. He made this remark. He said, you know, if it looks like a duck, talks like a duck, walks like a duck, and quacks like a duck, chances are it's a duck. And he said, you know, because he'd heard what I've been preaching last couple of Sundays concerning that whore of Babylon, Revelation 17 and 18. He said, you know, if it looks like a whore, acts like a whore, dresses like a whore, walks like a whore, chances are she's a whore. Well, have you noticed what's happened to our young women? Now, forget about the men. It's right now, I just want to center in on the women because I feel Holy Spirit led. There are some women that are listening. No, don't give me this thing that Pastor Peters is always picking on women. It's not going to work around here, okay? I got this email here. I got two of them, and I just wondered, this is what made me, well, this week I was thinking about, the scripture talks about how they make widows. Now, that whore of Babylon in Revelation 18, it says it never occurs to her that she doesn't think she'll ever be a widow. We won't get off onto that. I might be talking more on that this coming Sunday, but how does the system make widows? A widow is a woman that has no husband. A real dire woman without a husband or children, if she's lost her husband and her children, she's, you know, in dire straits as a widow. How does the system make widows? The Holy Spirit just kind of laid it on me to get this out somewhere along the line here in my preaching and teaching. This is how they do it. Now, some of you ladies, you listen. Well, ladies might be a very kind word for some of you. You have been seduced, so many of you, by Satan and his children. Yeah, you've come a long ways, baby, a long ways down, a long ways from motherhood. Satan knew that it was true. The hand that rocked the cradle ruled the nation. Now, if you got young daughters, teach them the most important, teach them that they were created by God to be wives and mothers. Just as men were created to be fathers and husbands. That family unit is despised by Satan and his socialist state because it's the most economic, efficient unit there is. As far as making widows, you take a young lady, and you, instead of teaching her home ec, you're having her play basketball and every other kind of sport, and then you let her go into the workforce from being an electrician to whatever. And so, and then the single glamorous life is made to look so attractive to them, and there's a little thing in the background that they don't listen to, and it sounds like this. It's called a clock. It's called the biological time clock. Tick, 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 tick. Ring. And someday it rings. And suddenly they find out that time does seem to go by rather fast. And the time to have had babies is gone. And pretty soon they have not only no husband, their career, there's no job there, and it's not glamorous at all. You tell me what's glamorous about having to go to work when you could have had children to raise, meals to cook, husband to tend to. And if you have those things, then you end up having children that are there when you're older and a loving family unit around. But what Babylon has done has made these young girls into widows, and they don't even know it. And then Satan puts in their mind that someone like Pastor Peters is some kind of male chauvinist pig. Well, it takes a female chauvinist sow to know one, I guess. And so the satanic beat goes on, and somebody needs to tell them. This person writes to me and says, "Dear Pastor Peters, I appreciate so much your ministry. I just don't hear what you are teaching anywhere else. I read the book of Micah this morning, and this verse jumped out at me like a snake. Micah 2:9, New King James Version, quote, 'The women of my people you cast out from their pleasant houses, from their children. You have taken away my glory forever,' end the quote. There was a time when almost all moms were home nurturing their gifts from God. Thank you for feeding your sheep, Pastor. Blessings to you in the name of Jesus." Signed, Barbara. This one comes from, a parent. I'm going to not put out the names. It says, "Pastor, I have a prayer request for my daughter, so-and-so. She recently had a child, a son, out of wedlock. Over the years, I've tried to teach her the truth and sent her books and set her. She was a Baptist as a child in a Nazarene church. But as a child, I think she..." I'll drop on down here. It says, "I know that..." Dropping on down here. "I listened recently to a Sunday sermon you gave, Pastor, and you came out and mentioned the sleepover sluts. A lot of daughters have become through the rebellion of sinning and turning from the Lord Jesus Christ by the things of this world. I don't think of my daughter as one would a whore, just a young lady caught up in this world, but also with rebellion against the Lord. I did not learn of this pregnancy until she was about 7 months along. I live in another state, and she lives..." And I won't mention the state. "She told me she was with child. I was angry at first, but the first words out of my mouth was he white?" Meaning the father of the child. "He is." You know, I guess one thing, I guess you can rejoice at least she's not a lesbian. That's how bad things have gotten. And, of course, the father was relieved to find out she hadn't committed the adultery, the adulterating of the races. She committed fornication here, of course, but I still want to take my anger out on the father. She had a boy, but since I listened to the sermon you gave not long ago, you mentioned the sleepover sluts so many daughters have become. That hit home. I have for about 8 months sent her money to help her with bills, but wanted to say something to her, which I finally did. I told her I did not want to support her lifestyle, even though she is not a whore." Well, don't bet on it, buddy. They walk like a duck, talk like a duck, quack like a duck. Chances are they're duck. She works in a cowboy bar and is around people like herself, caught up in lifestyles that are not Christian. She doesn't consider herself a whore, as so many young people today, and as in my younger days, get caught up in the so-called, and I won't go into that. But I finally sent her a letter, and I told her if she is entertaining men in her apartment that I would no longer support her lifestyle. I knew that she would take this very hard, and I also mentioned her mother's lifestyle. I could write a much longer letter trying to explain things. Anyway, the letter goes on here. But I was encouraged because, you know, some people are going to come back to the old-time position of the old-time preachers, and that is calling sin, sin. How can you get the young people, be it a young woman or a young man, to repent and return to the Lord with this nonsense preaching that is out there today? Just come to Jesus. He wants you just the way you are. No. You come to Jesus and you surrender to Jesus Christ and you repent of your wicked ways and you ask him to forgive you, and there will be forgiveness when you repent, believing in his name, repenting and being baptized for the remission of sins. Your sins are washed away and you can be born again. But somebody's got to tell these stories. and tell them that, well, these young ladies are being made into widows. This young lady here, she's going to find out how, when Babylon comes tumbling down, when all the king's men and all the king's horses can't put her back together again, she's going to find out she needs a husband. There was a time that women need husbands and husbands needed wives, and that family unit needed to stay together, and they needed Jesus Christ as the head of the home in order to survive. Well, praise God, with what's coming, that's going to happen again, because Babylon is going down. Now, I'm just out here broadcasting away, and I do want you to take down the phone number in case you want to call me tonight. I got a whole pile of email here that I'm not short on material. Oh, this one is interesting. Richard copied this. This is the Atlantic. It's evidently a magazine. It's got on the front page Obama, and you know the big headlines here? It says, "The End of White America." Question mark. That's interesting. I don't think so, because I know the Anglo-Israel message of Scripture. Now, the phones are ringing. Why don't we just go ahead and go to them? Just 307-745-5913. This is Pastor Peters. You're on the air. Can you hear me?
Greetings, Pastor Peters.
Greetings. Where are you calling from?
I'm sorry. Calling from Texas. Now, I have the Texas R phone, you brother.
Oh, good.
Anyways, I was reading in Proverbs 6:16 about the five things the Lord hates, and seven are abominations.
Okay.
And it really fits some figureheads today.
Now, what scripture is that?
Proverbs 6:16.
Okay, I'm going to turn there right now. Go ahead.
Well, thank you. Maybe you ought to go ahead and read it.
Okay, Proverbs 6:16. Turning there right now. There are six things which the Lord hates, yea, seven, which are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that run rapidly to evil, a false witness who utters lies, and one who spreads strife among brethren.
And that with the shedding of innocent blood.
Yes.
Any rate, that fits some pretty high figures to me. And I was reading also in the book of Jonah about Nineveh. You know, Nineveh was a great city. Like it says that Babylon and Jerusalem, you know, the great city. And I noticed down in there a verse that while we talk about, you know, 2 Chronicles 7:14.
Uh-huh.
But I was looking at Jonah there in, I think it's chapter 3, verse 8. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Let them run every one from his evil way and from the wickedness that is in their hands. I'm just wondering if we're going to have to add that verse to 2 Chronicles 7:14. And if we can understand who or what this beast is, then maybe we can understand what the beast in Revelation is a little better.
Well, that the study of the beast is one all by itself. If you start studying out, you'll find out the beast has hands, the beast can repent, the beast has feet. So in the Bible talks about the beast of the field. We'll have to do that sometime.
Well, let me confess here that I am was a fellow student with the late Nord Davis Jr.
Well, then you and I know what we're talking about.
Right. Yeah. What we're talking about.
You know, I just don't know if the audience is ready for it yet.
I'm sorry?
I just don't know if our audience is ready for it yet.
I understand.
Okay.
I understand.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for not putting me on the spot any further.
Sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
No, that's all right. I don't mind. I like the job.
But let me bring you up to Exodus chapter 23, verse 29, when Israel went into course, the audience, you know, maybe the audience needs to think about this. Maybe it's about time.
Let them think about it a little bit, and we'll get back on it sometime.
All right.
And you know, it's no accident that men, so many men like Nord Davis died of cancer. You start looking back how many people go down at a young age. That was no accident. Shedding of innocent blood. Got to run. I got other people on the line.
Okay, brother.
Thanks.
Bye.
This is Pastor Peters, and you're on the air.
Yes, sir. I'm a man of God, and I know my Lord. Thanks. I also wanted to say, in Psalms 66, verse 10.
Psalms what?
Psalm 66,
uh-huh.
Verse 10.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it says, already born thou, O God, has proved us. Thou hast tried us, and silver's tried. Well, silver's tried seven times in a furnace. And on the seventh time, when you can look into it and see yourself, no impurities, then it's pure. Well, that's called a beatific vision. And I sent you papers on this. Okay? I know my Lord. I've seen my Lord, and my Lord has seen me.
Well, praise
God. In the old days, in order to be saved, you had to cause thy face to shine, O Lord, and we shall be saved. Well, that's the same today. The Lord commands you to know him. He says, I will try you. Okay? He also says, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Well, the law was given to prove us. When you hold yourself, when you try to keep his law, your heart, with every fiber of your being, you're going to fail. But it's going to be like a birth pain. In Job chapter 5, verses 17 through 19, he describes it. And each time, and on the sixth time, Satan came against me and said, turn out of the way, turn out of the way. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. The seventh time, he came to me, and he is born again in my soul. And if someone held a gun to my head and said, deny Christ or I'll kill you, I would know the gun is real. I'd know the bullet is real. I knew I had to know that he is real. And I know he is real. Are you there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
This is what people are missing. Their guns aren't going to protect them against this new world order. You're right. Sin has brought it. They have sinned against God, and this is what they were fruit of it. God is in control. God is the only thing that can protect them. And the only way you're going to know him is by keeping his word, holding yourself to his standard.
We sure want to do that. And
he will reveal himself.
We sure want to do that, and of course his word says make sure you buy a sword, so keep that powder dry. Appreciate your call.
Yeah, the sword is the sword of the Spirit.
They brought two swords to him, and Jesus said that's enough. Those weren't spiritual swords, those were real swords. So I'm not going to argue with the part that you gave is true, but I'm not going to let you take away the part that people need to know, and that is your Lord Jesus Christ said make sure if you have to, sell a robe and buy you a sword. Thanks for calling, sir. Got a lot of calls on the air. This is Pastor Peters. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, Pastor Peters. This is Chris calling from Virginia. I was cutting wood today, and something came to me. You often have in the past talked about esoteric and exoteric messages that the world system sends out. And I've noticed how much they've been comparing the current president to Lincoln. And about every other word they compare to Lincoln. Well, we know what Lincoln's end was, don't we?
We do. It's very interesting. I've had a conversation with one of my Acres of Diamond men today on that very subject. Very interesting.
And I think there's a possibility that a certain segment of the population could go ballistic if something happened, and that would be a fine excuse to bring in martial law.
Well, that's a thought a lot of people have had, and, of course, that might be one of the cards they could play, but praise God, he's got some plans too on this thing. But a point well made.
Thank you. Good day.
Thank you. And it's 307-745-5913 if you want to make a point and call tonight. And I'm trying to get the calls in. I'm kind of pleased to see some. I quit taking calls there for a while, so maybe it was good. Now I got a whole line full of them. Well, just two right now, but 307-745-5913 if you want to call. This is Pastor Peters, and you are on the air.
Hello, Pastor Peters. This is Cal from North Carolina.
Hi, Cal.
good evening. I was just waking up this morning, and it just hit me like a ton of bricks. Unless you become as a little child, you shall not see. And I thought, the keys to the kingdom that Peter got, so simple. I told my son, if you are standing at the gate of a brand new land or a huge palace, until you use those keys, you would never, ever get in.
You got it.
How simple that is.
That's why he took a simple fisherman like Peter and said, you know, Pete, I'm going to give you the keys. I know you can figure this thing out. If you can figure it out, anybody can.
Oh, man. I tell you, my heart is so heavy because I got a brother that was a missionary.
Uh-huh.
And I tried to tell him, I said, baptism is much more than just a symbol. It's a change of jurisdictions. It's from death unto life. I mean, you can't even understand baptism until you start studying what a gift that is.
And it's so simple. I mean, how can you miss it? The Great Commission. Go yep. in all the world, preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now,
absolutely right. And then, like Christ said, what word that my Father has uttered has failed? There aren't any.
Amen.
It's amazing. I'm so happy. I just watched the last week's DVD. It came to mail today. What an interesting eye-opener it is. Oh, man, what time we live in, huh?
Satan knows we're on target, I think.
Praise the Lord. If it weren't for Jesus, it wouldn't be worth being here another minute.
Amen.
You know it?
Thanks for calling.
Amazing. Okay. Good night.
Good night. Pleasant little challenge here. Got the calls coming in. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You're on the air. Can you hear me?
Hello?
Go ahead. Yes, sir.
This is Mike from out in Connecticut.
Hi, Mike.
I've been listening to you for probably 6 months or more anyway.
Well, we appreciate that. You learn anything?
It's exciting to talk to such a man of God. I'd like to request some prayer tonight for my brother. Child Protective Services here in Connecticut has taken my brother's children away.
Oh, my.
And I've been helping him with his case and everything because I went through it before with my kids. And
let's do it right now. Our Father in heaven, we might be sheep, but we're not so dumb not to know kidnapping is kidnapping. Under this color of law that we got the socialists coming in, stealing the children. Taking the lambs from the flock. Under God only knows, you only know, Lord, what pretense it is. Those children do not belong to mom and dad or the state. They belong to you, but you entrusted them to the mother and father. And Lord, the state has stepped in as some kind of God itself. Oh God, we have transgressed your law, and as a result, as a people, we're reaping what we sowed, but we're crying out to you, save us. Save us from these socialists that are child stealers, and bring upon them the penalty. Let these social workers know that there's prayers that are beginning to be prayed, that the kidnapper pays. And that includes the cops that are involved in this whole affair and all the lawyers and judges that make their money off of it and the counselors. Oh, Heavenly Father, we bring them before your throne and we say, bring them down. And we ask now that you would bring home these children to their daddy in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Pastor Peters.
You're welcome. Boy, I tell you, there's times I just... Well, I'm sure some of you do the same thing. You just groan at what's going on. This is Pastor Peters. You're on the air.
Yes, Pete. This is Mark in Tennessee. There's a bunch of things I'd like to talk to you about, but first I'd like to just thank you for being there. Your messages are so timely sometimes. It's just even the stuff you play when you're not there, it just hits home. And I'm not, you know, one to pass out the compliments all that quickly, but you're being used more right now than you ever have, because I've been listening to you for years, and I just, you know, want to pass that on to you, that you may be getting a little older, but you're right on time right now. I mean, people are really needing to hear what you have to say, and I think they're listening. I listen to you all the time on the shortwave.
Well, thank you for your comments, and keep me in your prayers. I'm at an awkward age. I'm not old, and I'm not young. I'm just at an awkward age now.
don't know how you. Can I move on to a couple more things?
Yeah.
Okay. One thing that's happened here in Tennessee a lot, and I heard some people talking about it earlier today on other call-in programs. The Air Guard is Air National Guard is being used an awful lot these days to harass citizens with just doing low flyovers over people's homes and businesses. Civil Air Patrol, those little single engine Cessnas.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are, you know, being made to be shy and afraid of the Air National Guard because they're running around right now just terrorizing the citizens left and right. Instead of being down on the border, protecting the border, they're flying over the houses of anyone that would oppose this, you know, this garbage that they're trying to foist upon the American people right now. And one of the tools that the Air Guard uses, I'm sort of an old veteran of being harassed by the government,
mm-hmm.
is they GPS track people's cell phones. In other words, since 1996, all the cell phones have a GPS tracker in them by law.
Right.
And so the Guard, it's my firm belief, has been used by the Bush administration and is still currently being used to harass patriots, anyone who would stand up against the current New World Order schemes, and they'll track your cell phone, and then they'll, you know, you'll wonder, gosh, how do these guys keep showing up everywhere I'm at? It's because you're carrying that stupid phone around.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah,
you know, a lot of people are not aware of that. I mean, they're not. They're more like the Wizard of Oz, the little man behind the curtain, you know, making big noises and big sounds. I think they're smarter than to be able to, you know, have another Kent State where they fire upon the people.
Point well made. And the point is, and I want to move on because I want to get these other calls in, but the point is they like to cause us the fear and they feed on our fear.
This confusion is what mm-hmm. they're trying to sow. They're trying to disturb you and distract you and confuse you so that you don't go through with what your prayers and your plans.
Yeah. That's why, ladies and gentlemen, that's why in Scripture constantly we're told, fear not, fear not. One time at the Radio Ranch, this was years ago, they had a chopper that was hovering so low out here it was kicking up the dirt.
Oh, yeah. I've had them nearly shaking the pictures off the walls before, and it's gone on with me for 5 years constantly. And I mean, sometimes, depending on how much, you know, it's like a spiritual battle in a way, because, I mean, I think some of these people that are flying these planes are just downright despicably evil the way that they, you know, show up when they show up and stuff. But
let me take the other calls. You made your point.
Yes, sir.
Hey, thanks a lot.
You bet.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Hate to cut them short, but I've got so many people online. This is a pleasant little problem. Hello, this is Pastor Peters. Go ahead. Can you hear me?
Yes, Pastor Peters.
Yeah, can you make it kind of fast?
I don't know. I'll give it a try.
All right.
I have a couple things. First off, I want to tell you that census is coming up, another census. You've heard about that?
Oh, yeah.
Do you think somebody should tell High Yeller Bambi that that's kind of a bad thing to do?
Oh, I don't know. Let me think on it.
This is I am a man that's been listening to you since the 80s, and I appreciate everything you've done. And I hope you don't put me on the air.
Well, you're on the air right now.
Oh, well, you can't take me off?
I tell you what, let me go to somebody else. You don't want to be on the air. I got plenty of people to talk to here.
All right, I'll call you later.
All right.
Thanks.
This is Pastor Peters, and let's take one more call. You're on the air? Hello. Oh, everybody's hung up. Well, we're about out of time. What do you say we just go out with this song?
Hey sinner, you're running out of time. How much longer do you have before you go completely blind? Choices now before you, it's time to break sin's spell and claim your destination. Is it heaven, is it hell?
Good question. You listen to Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. Thank you for being with us tonight.